is Sean with Voices of Rocky Ripple, and I'm speaking with Nancy Barton. How are you doing, Nancy?
I'm doing well today, Sean.
You've been able to get out and enjoy the snow at all?
Not yet. I enjoy watching it fall, though. It's been beautiful.
So what street do you live on in Rocky Ripple?
I live on Ripple Road, which is a little bit close to the river and the canal.
Okay.
So just a short street, yeah.
And so where were you born and what year was that?
What year? Oh, boy. Well, I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana. I grew up in Greenwood on the south side in Johnson County back in 1954. So I get to go get my COVID vaccination today.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, all right. So what was the first knowledge of Rocky Ripple? What brought you over the bridge?
Oh, that's a great way to say it. What brought me over the bridge? I visited here once years ago with a friend that lived here, but it was my husband, Bob, who brought me in. We weren't married yet. We were boyfriend, girlfriend, and he was looking for a place to live and was aware of Rocky Ripple, but sort of would drive up and down streets, you know, how people still do today, looking for something that could be possibly vacant or available for sale. And he found this house, weeds 4 feet tall in the yard, definitely abandoned. At that time, back in about 1984, Ripple Road had a lot of empty homes. And he made an offer and was not accepted. The parties did not want to sell. It was the elder couple who had been here the entire time. One was in a nursing home, one had passed away, a daughter was in Texas. They just weren't interested in selling. So he came back a year later. It was still, now the weeds are taller. The house is more decrepit. And he made another offer, and then it was accepted. And so then the process began of settling in. We ended up getting married in the yard in 1991. And have for every year since then had an anniversary party, except last summer when parties just weren't happening. So we hope to get back on track for our 30th anniversary this summer.
Wow, that's impressive. Congratulations.
That's what brought me over the bridge. I followed my boyfriend over the bridge.
That's great. So as you've been able to enjoy a lot of different experiences and there's been a lot of changes, what do you feel are some of the milestones that have happened over the past 30 years in the, you know, from the whole park or whatever, just some things that you've seen that were good progression?
Well, it's really been an interesting trajectory, I think, just being here all that time. We became involved, I know I became involved a lot with the community association and could really make things happen. We were able to create a lot of events that drew families together. And as our family was growing, we have 3 grown kids now, but we wanted to make Rocky Ripple a welcome place for families and a comfortable place for kids to grow up, which it certainly was. I think our town board has been solid and always in touch with the community. It's great to have that town board and the town hall experience. I know that I've been involved with many events beyond the community association. I was the 4-H leader for about 15 years, and we would meet at the town hall, and it was just, I felt like we were giving some love to the town hall when I opened the door and it was dark and the kids would come in and we'd have our meetings and then do something fun with the river, testing river water quality or whatever we were doing tie-dye and hanging them on the clotheslines out front. It was always a great experience. So for me, Rocky Ripple has really been a home for us and our kids who now when they try to find a place to live, they come home and go, it's not like Rocky Ripple. You know, where can I live like Rocky Ripple? Well, I think you're looking at Rocky Ripple. So it's so unique and watching the park grow. We were there at the beginning. Our kids were little then, and it was an amazing event to see that happen. And then, of course, I was involved with getting a community garden going, which I still work with that. I was with the community association, I believe, holding nearly every office. And then when I left, after also about 15 years, I thought, what do I really still love to do? And that was working, developing the community garden, and also the holiday bazaar and the plant exchange. So, and I changed the bridges on the sign, the signs on the bridges too. So all those things, it's just, you know, Rocky Ripple, people come here and, you know, that I'm not lost, I live here, you know, it's such a sense of identity living in Rocky Ripple.
If you could get a little bit more detail about the garden and just how that works and how it gets to like areas dispersed and the variety of stuff that's in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, first I should talk a little bit about the history of the garden and why that's real dear to me as well. I know it's called the Burkhart Rocky Ripple Community Garden. We wanted to add that name Burkhart in honor of Rick Burkhart, who was a market gardener back in the 90s, I believe it was, where he purchased the property from your family, I believe, and put up the fence. He wanted to be a market gardener. And so that's like selling at a farmer's market. And in the 90s, this was just a vision, a visionary thought. Farmer's markets weren't all around. And so Rick started growing for restaurants, and kept it organic. Rick and I and another flower grower started the Rocky Ripple Farmers Market back in 1995. We lasted 1 year because once Broad Ripple saw what we were doing, they wanted a market. And so they came to us, and we moved over to the brew pub. And now it's expanded everywhere these days. So I was glad to be part of that early days of Farmers Market. Rick garden for many years, and due to health complications, had to pull out and sold his property to another neighbor, who then in turn sold it back to the town. So we are fortunate to be able to have this garden. At that time, I was with the 4-H Club, and I proposed that the 4-H kids adopt the garden. And then that year of letting the 4-H kids adopt the garden, we grew some greens, we donated them to Second Helping, we grew radishes, and worked with Purdue Extension just trying to clean up the plots. And then, once we got going with a more of a direction of let's create a community garden, I knew I couldn't do it by myself. I needed help. And another neighbor who lived here, who's since moved away, Sue Guilfoy, came in, and with her great managerial skills, communicating skills, she was able to find some funds that allowed us to build the little shed that's there now and to do some other purchases because we didn't have any money. And I don't like to ask for money. I'm really terrible about that. I'm pretty frugal. And even to ask, like, having the land was a gift from the town. They haven't gifted it to us. We just take care of it, you know. We don't own those plots. So Sue and I, this was before the internet. So we didn't have a system to communicate with other people other than through the community association, through the town council. So Sue would make newsletters. I would run them around to interested people. And we met at her house and at my house and decided that we'd keep the fees very small. At that time, we did not have city water yet. Rick never had water either, so he had to bring water in on a truck. We started, and there's a few people who started at the very beginning who are still with it, other than me. There's a couple of us that are still there. We welcome residents from Rocky Ripple. There's a very small fee. We start at plots that might be a 10 by 10 size. If you want more, after the first year, I've learned after the first year, then you can expand, because it seems like a great idea to grow your own food. But let me tell you, it's hard work, and you can't ignore it. You can't just visit it once a month. You have to be there with your blood, sweat, and tears, and water, and on your hands and knees. So it's really for the hardy of us, I guess. But it's been such a wonderful experience to have it here. Again, we're fortunate to have it. When water came into town, we now pay for our water. So I do pay the town for that. And we do our best to maintain it and add beauty to the town, that just to make it a really pleasant a pleasant attraction or a message of goodwill to the community, that we really are honored to have that property. We do also welcome people who don't live in town. If there's space, usually it's a friend of a friend that comes in, so we're all kind of connected in that way. And I really have intended to dig up as much space as we can where there's sun, so we can not turn anyone away. Sometimes we just don't have the space. Like right now, I know it's full. People are moving around, but I think the season's already full, and it's only February. Things could change, and they do. But I had a quote that I write a little summary of the garden each year, what we do, what we've done. And at first, the quote goes, let's see, at first, we grew the garden, and then the garden grew us. So that's the cool thing about our community garden. Yeah, isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
It's connected us, especially last year, the year of COVID-19, where being outside was a good thing. And so we were also grateful to feel safe outside, yelling at each other 20 feet away, working in our plots, seeing a human being. And even early on in March, I remember that was my outing for the day, to go to the garden, and neighbors would be walking by, and I could see people and talk to people and feel connected. That's the best part of a community garden. You really, it's the great community effort. We do take turns, make sure that we keep our plots cleaned up nice, and we do our best with what we have. It's a shoestring budget, and we've also created some plots that are for all of us to share. So we planted garlic last October. We'll share split those in the summer. Rick Burkhart planted asparagus in 1994. We keep adding on to that plot, and we have kept that. And we still harvest Rick's asparagus, plus more that we've planted. In maybe 10 years ago, a young man who was a good friend of my son, Griffin Trussell, was also gardening in the community garden with his girlfriend. And sadly, that year, that they had this beautiful garden. It wasn't just rows. It was, they made it in circles, which is, he's learned about at another garden that he'd worked at. He was tragically died. And when we lose a gardener, we like to memorialize them. And so we planted a rhubarb patch. We call it Griffin's rhubarb patch. It's still there. Last year we harvested rhubarb, donated it to the Boulevard Place food pantry, and then many people made rhubarb pies. You know, I try to let people remind them that we planted this because of this person. So think of them when you have your pie. Think of Rick when you pick some asparagus. We have a choke cherry tree from another gardener who passed away. And we had a contribution several years ago from the Royer family in honor of Marjorie Royer. And we purchased some perennial herbs, and we leave those in our cold house. So it's a way to remember this person perennially. And, it's really kind of makes the garden even more special. And a lot of people don't notice those things. I have to, again, like I'm telling you the story, I have to keep telling the story of this. So now our garden's pretty connected on Facebook, so we can, like yesterday, I asked who's going to go down there. We have to cover. It's going to be really cold. And in our cold house, we've got low tunnels that we have to cover on these super cold days. But we eat from it all winter, all year round. We have water barrels where we collect when it rains. Sometimes they freeze, but mostly they don't. And we have some water that we've saved inside the cold house, too, to keep it going. So, again, this garden we have grown so much with it. And I'm honored to be part of it for such a long time. This is our 20th season.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. How did I get 20 years old? And it's a great workout, too, I must say that.
I mean, that's one thing that's really beautiful about Rocky Ripple compared to wherever else in the city, you know, is that you have, you know, kind of a communal park that you can enjoy, which that happens a lot, but to give each person kind of their own area that they can feel a part of it and come together and grow and be healthy and, you know, have unique things that maybe this guy's growing and this person isn't, and kind of getting the variety of it. I think that's really great. And there's really not a lot of communities that I could even think of that have a communal garden that everybody can put their own two cents in. So
we are one of the oldest in this Midtown area. So again, you know, because of, if the fence wasn't there, I don't know if I would have tackled it. You know, having that fence keeps critters out. You know, it's not that we don't want people to come in, but it keeps the raccoons out. It keeps most of the groundhogs out, even though it's Groundhog Day today. But it keeps out all those the varmints that eat our produce. We have lots of rabbits in there, and there seems to be plenty for them to eat, and mice, but nothing too terrible has taken away all our crops. Except last year, the birds seemed to get up earlier than all of us, and they ate most of the blackberries, which is disappointing when you see those beautiful blooms. That's another crop that we share. When you see beautiful buds, and here come the blackberries, and then if you get up and get down there, even at 8 o'clock in the morning, the birds have eaten the best berries already. So, oh, well.
Well, you know, they're doing their part in the ecosystem, so, you know, I guess you can't be too mad at the birds, but that's beautiful.
Right.
Well, thank you, Nancy. Is there anybody in particular you'd like to give a little appreciation for that's kind of helped you and you just respect, you know, in the community? I know there's probably 40 you could rattle off, but it would be...
There are about 40 I could rattle off. You know, the organization, the community association, just a big shout out to all that they do. I'm so glad to see some new faces involved there. I mean, I haven't been as active as before, but I think it's so essential for that organization to go on. During the time that I was involved with this, I was part of the group that set up that park endowment. So we are so fortunate to have the structure of the community association and the creative ideas. And I just encourage all residents of Rocky Ripple, you know, to think of what could be, you know, I mean, that's what it is, you know, what could I do? What could be, you know, there are lots of things that could still happen here. I always had this, I don't know why I'm so fond of that little town hall, but, you know, one year we were actually talking about redesigning it to make it more of a community kitchen so that people could come in and prepare like artisanal foods that you could then, you know, have it as an approved kitchen. Crazy, you know, all that could be. Do we want a food bank? Do we want a food co-op there? All those things could still be explored. And yeah, the possibilities are there. We just need the creative minds to come together.
Sure.
And we have plenty of them back here.
You
sure do.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate your time. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close this out?
Just a big thanks to you, Sean. I think this is a wonderful project, and it's a wonderful way to learn about the neighbors. I've listened to several of the excerpts that you've recorded, and I sit here with a smile on my face, and I'm shaking my head. Yeah, this is a great story. So I really thank you for your good work and the time that you're putting into this project.
Well, it's, you know, because of, it's, my company started because of Mabel Holt, and that was a decade ago, and 3 years ago is when I launched it. But, you know, to be able to help, it's very ironic how things come full circle, and how now I can help because of my service, not just preserve the town stories, but also the individuals and their life stories and appreciation from multiple people to a person. That's kind of the bigger purpose of goodness behind it. But I really appreciate your time, and just stay on the line, and I'm going to close this out.
Thanks, Sean. Take care.
You got it.